So cloud infrastructure, we're really going to be talking a lot this morning about what that cloud infrastructure is going to be looking like, what it delivers, and how we deliver those, what the components are that make that solution up. So what we found is more customers are going to the cloud. Most of you are service providers. Most of you probably had customers and noticed that the customer numbers that are demanding cloud services are growing fairly rapidly over the past 12 months, 18 months. What Microsoft's trying to deliver with this platform is a single platform that works across on-premise, in the cloud, as a service provider's cloud, in public and private mode, but also ties into third-party clouds like the Windows Azure cloud. So we're trying to give you one platform that will work across the multiple different options that you have. We're also trying to deliver a platform that is going to save you money and give you some more efficiencies around your automation and deployment processes. Okay? How many of you at the moment could deploy a whole customer-dedicated environment with domain controllers, Exchange, SharePoint, Link without any human interaction? Okay, no one? That's the sort of technology level that we can get to with the new product platform. So when you look at all the 2012 R2 products, we're talking about being able to have that level of automation. So if a customer comes to you and says, I want my own private Exchange environment, we can deploy the domain controllers, the Exchange servers that make up that platform without you having to have engineers that sit there, manually build each Windows server, manually install Exchange on every server, and all the prereqs and everything else that are required. So we can automate that process for you. Does that sound good? Yeah? So what we have is one consistent platform, as I said, customer premise, your service provider cloud, as well as the Microsoft Windows Azure cloud on a fully multi-tenant environment. We don't have to do dedicated deployments. You can have a mix and match of dedicated and multi-tenant. So what we're finding is the hosting market and the opportunity of customers that have current servers out in the workplace at the moment, whether it's physical or virtual, we're finding that most of those customers are really starting to assess hosted services as an option. So whether it's your service provider clouds, whether it's Microsoft Azure or one of the other third-party cloud services, we're finding that five times what we've seen in the past, five-time growth, are moving into the cloud. So keep that in mind, that the customers, as their hardware is coming up for renewal and things like that, they're really looking at moving into the cloud. A lot of them don't want to have the hardware infrastructure costs anymore. They don't have the engineering skills, or they don't want to have the engineering costs of paying engineers, whether it's internal engineers or third-party SIs, to come in and manage and build their environments. So between now in 2015, it's expected that instances will grow in the cloud by 90%. So we're expecting to see that most of you should be growing your business between now and 2015, or the end of 2015, by 90%. We're seeing that much movement into the cloud. Desktop hosting is another large mover, okay? We're seeing that a lot of customers are not just looking at their server products, they're also looking at going desktop into the cloud as well. So virtual desktops are becoming something that's really growing rapidly. The technologies that we can use to deploy those desktops has also improved drastically. Okay? Later on, when we go through some conversations around the new 2012 R2 RDS structures and capabilities, we can start now having multiple different options for customers, so they can either go a single Microsoft Windows RDS solution or potentially a third-party vendor solution-assisted product like Citrix or some of the other desktop application-capable products. So the platform we're going to be talking about for the next 3 days, okay, is really based on Windows 2012 Server R2, System Center 2012 R2, and the Windows Azure Pack. We have web hosting and platform as a service using Windows Azure Pack. We're going to be talking about full dynamic support for Linux. Okay, we're not just talking, when we talk about this platform, Microsoft OS or Microsoft applications. We're talking about Linux OSs, Linux applications, and other applications from other third-party vendors. Talking about network virtualization, how many of you at the moment are playing with virtual networks versus their physical networks? So we have about half a dozen people in the room that are playing with virtual networking. We're seeing that that's a major area of growth. Extensible APIs for multi-tenancy. So we're giving you a platform that has APIs that you can tie into, whether it's you writing your own custom control panels and applications, or whether it's the third-party vendors like Parallels, Extend, Ensem, Citrix. So we're also talking about monitoring. We need to be able to monitor the environments that you're building and be able to give customers that sort of monitoring capability as well. We have remote FX over WAN, remote desktop services for iOS and Android. No longer are we just talking about Microsoft RDS from Windows OSs, we're able to deliver those same desktop experiences on other OSs as well. Resource metering and throttling, making sure customers are getting what they're paying for on the platform, whether it's CPU, RAM, storage, network, disk I/O. Live migration with RDMA, for those that have a lot of high volume VMs, okay, highly recommend you start looking at RDMA. It's a much faster process to move and copy and all those sort of things, VMs from one environment to another environment. Disaster recovery with Hyper-V Replica. We've seen some pretty good starting points with Windows 2012. With Windows 2012 R2, Hyper-V Replica has had a bit of an upgrade, and we're now able to do more functionality and features with Hyper-V Replica. We also have more support for open source languages and frameworks. As I said, we've done a lot of work around Linux and PHP and some of the other open source products. So when we look at the CloudOS platform for hosting, what we really see, as you can see across the top, we're delivering web hosting, we're delivering VM hosting, database hosting, desktop hosting, and application hosting. And the way we deliver that is we have our foundation of hosting service providers, which are the control panels, Windows Azure Pack, as well as the APIs that sit behind there. We then have down the bottom, you're seeing in the lighter green, we have our Windows Server 2012 R2 stack, which is made up of your compute, your file, your network, and then on top of that, we have our virtualization with Hyper-V, availability and scalability and security capabilities that we've built into R2, as well as some of the new storage capabilities and management capabilities. And then we have Active Directory, which has been pretty stable for a long time now. And we also have networking virtualization, web applications, and RDS. And then on the box on the far right, where we have it in nice dark green, we have our System Center stack. We have our managed service provider cloud infrastructure with Virtual Machine Manager, Orchestrator. We then move up to our OS and application monitoring with Ops Manager and Orchestrator. And then we move into our SPF framework, which is our Service Provider Foundation APIs, which we can tie into to help automate a lot more processes. So we're going to move very quickly into a demonstration to start with. So just bear with me while I switch screens. So how many people in the room have actually seen Windows Azure Pack? So how many of those people that have got their hand up, how many of you seen the latest version of the Windows Azure Pack? One or two of you? Okay. Not sure. So I'm not going to make you watch me type in a username and password, okay? We've already signed in. So what we have here is what the customer will see once they've signed into the Windows Azure Pack. Okay, So this is a end user perspective. It's not what you as an administrator in the back end sees. Okay, we'll go through that in a later demonstration. We're just going to concentrate on what an end user sees today. So in here, I've come in and I can see all my items, whether it's websites, databases, VMs, or networks. So down here, I can click on websites and I can see I have 5 different websites running. If I want to, I can click on one of these websites. I get a nice little pop-up that says I've got some tools that I can download, apps that I can play with. So if I wanted to, I can download those tools. It takes me to some Microsoft websites to download those tools. But we're going to not do that at the moment. We'll just go to the dashboard. So when I go to this dashboard, as you can see, I can see how my website's performing. I can see the CPU time, the data in, the data out, the HTTP server errors, as well as requests. And I can also pick and choose which ones I want displayed. So I can hide some of them. And I can bring them back. So as you can see, very user-friendly, very easy to use. I can also come down here and I can see the CPU burst times, the CPU times, the data outs, etc. in a more different graphical process. Down the right-hand side, I can download the publish profile, set up deployment credentials, reset the publish profile to credentials and things like that. We also have some information down here. I have the FTP host name, the deployment logs, FTP diagnostic logs that I can go to. And over to the left here, I can see the linked resources. And the linked resources for most websites is going to be the database that sits behind the website. So here you can see I have a MySQL database, okay? That's what's driving that website. And if I come up here, that's the website that's being driven. It's a WordPress website that we've deployed. That's the front end, the database is the MySQL, and we can go from there. We're going to get into a lot more about websites later in the week, but I just wanted to give you a quick demonstration of what we can deliver on the website platform. On the VM's perspective, when I go back to the right screen, so on the website perspective, I have button to go back. I can go to my virtual machines. Here I can see the virtual machine that I've deployed. I can click on the virtual machine. I can go to my dashboard. What I'm seeing here is, it'll take a little couple of seconds to render, but I have graphical representation of what's happening on my server as well. Here I can see the memory, the network I/O, the storage I/O. I can also hit CPU percentages. So I can see the information that's occurring on my server in real time. Over here, I can show it in an hour, I can show it in a day, I can show it as a month. So if I go to a month, this VM hasn't been around for very long, so we're not going to see a lot of data, but you can see that I can show a month's worth of utilization. So if I was a customer, I would see how does my server performed over the last month, I can bring that up and see it. Down here, we have some usage information about my subscription, okay? So I can see here what I've deployed out of the solution that I've bought from you. So if you as a service provider have sold this customer a private cloud where you've given them a resource pool of so many CPUs, so much RAM, and so much storage, here you can see what percentage you're using. This isn't about the individual VM, it's about my whole pool of resources. Down the right-hand side, I can see my host name, I can see my IP addresses, I can see the OS that's running on that VM. I can also see the size, I can see the cores, the disks, the generation version, because with Windows 2012 R2, we have 2 types of VM generations, generation 1 and generation 2, and we'll go through the differences in that a little bit later in the sessions. I can see my subscription IDs, my virtual machine ID, and I can also see down here, I have 1 disk on that VM, which is the OS disk. If I had other disks and drives, you would see them listed, or a DVD ISO mounted, those things would appear down the bottom. I can also go to configuration, and if I shut this VM down, I would be able to change the configuration, okay? So while we're waiting, I'll just go back to my VM. We're just gonna shut that VM down for a second. As you see, you get a prompt. Yep, I really wanna shut it down. So that's while that's stopping, what I'm gonna do is we're just gonna go and create a new VM. This might take a little while, so we'll get it started now. So if I want to create a virtual machine, okay, we have a virtual machine role, which can be a multiple set of virtual machines. And we're going to go through how virtual machine roles and service templates works a little bit later. So we're just going to stick to a standard virtual machine for now. I'm going to pick one from my gallery. So I'm going to do a Windows 2012 Service Provider 1 Edition VM template that I have. Over here I can see it gives me memory of 1 gig, a processor, 1 disk, 1 network adapter, 1 generation, 1 VM. So let's go next. I type in a server name, Leon's server. Come down, whack in my password. Type it in again, and hopefully I haven't got fat fingers and typed it too many times incorrectly. I can specify the network I want to connect to. So if your customer has multiple networks, they would see that in that list. So moving to the next step. As I can see now, that's now going to create my VM. And now I can see it's popped up and it's given me a status that it's creating. So while that VM gets generated in the back end, because that can take up to 5 minutes while we're waiting for things to replicate and synchronize. So let's go back to this VM that I'd stopped. So if I go to configuration, I can now see that this drop-down box is active. So if I wanted to increase the amount of CPU cores and RAM, for example, here I can see I want to take my VM from 1 core and a gig of RAM to 2 cores and 2 gig of RAM. You could have a big list of different templates here, so you could have different hardware specifications and the customer can pick from them, and you would have a cost center based against that. So if someone changes it, you could then have your billing system pick up that they've changed and upgraded and then charge them the additional fees. So let's up it, and I might save those changes. Yes, I want to save those changes. Okay, and we can see that that's completed. So let's close that completed job. We'll close that completed job. But as you can see, I've always got this bar down the bottom that tells me that what's actively in progress. So what I'm going to do now is let's go back to this machine, go to the dashboard. Oh, I've got a fail. So obviously I've run out of resources on my test environment, but once you hit that button, it would go and update the processes and would be up and running. I can go back here. I can see that this server is still being built. It tells me that the operation is still in progress and come back in a few minutes. So while we're waiting for that to build, let's go have a look at SQL Server databases. So not only can a Windows Azure Pack do websites and VMs, we can also deploy databases. Okay? So when you start looking at SQL as a service, or database as a service, we can deploy a database as well. So here you can see I've got a couple of databases, but let's go and try and create a new one. Here I have two different options of two different versions of SQL. Okay? So if you have multiple different versions of SQL you want customers to be able to deploy, whether it's a SQL Express edition, or whether it's a database on SQL Standard or a database on SQL Enterprise or SQL Web Edition, we can have a different subscription model and different cost points. So if they don't need to pay for licensing, it's just a very basic, generic, static database that they need, they could go to SQL Express there and I'll deploy on my SQL Express. But I'm going to deploy on my SQL Standard server. We have a default edition and we're going to hit go. Need to type in an admin name that I want to connect to the database on. Type in the password that I want it to use. Ooh. Obviously, I've got a problem with my provisioning engine. So we'll pretend that that went through. We'll go back to one of these databases. So I can view, once the database is created, you would see it in your list. I can go to view information. It gives me the username, the SQL server name, and I can see the connection string to connect to that database. Okay? So if your customer comes in, they create a database and they want to hook a web application up to it or some other application on it, they can have the connection string without having to call your help desk and get someone to give them that connection string. We can also do MySQL databases. So in here, I can see some databases I've created on MySQL. Okay, when we're doing website hosting, okay, some applications like some of the Drupal and WordPress releases initially all worked on MySQL. Okay, some customers we know are going to have a requirement for it, so we can deploy that as well. Okay, and we can still manage it. And same as what we did with SQL, I can come down here, view the information, and I get the connection string just as I did on the SQL box. I can also come down here and see my account. So in here, I can manage a certificate. So I can upload a certificate to encrypt my connections to VMs and other things later down the track. I can also sign up for additional plans or services. So if I signed up initially just for VMs, I could come in here and add SQL subscriptions or website subscriptions. So I can click on the subscriptions tab and it shows me all the things that I've subscribed to. So in here you can see I've got some VM plans, SQL, MySQL, a SQL Express database, a website, and some VM plans as well. If I've got any add-ons, that would appear in that list. Any certificates that I've uploaded would show up in that list as well. And the administrators, I have no co-admins at the moment. Okay, so I'm the only administrator on that system from my company. Okay, so I've had another admin or two or three admins, they would appear in the list and we could see each other's content. So VMs, websites, etc. So that VM's still creating. So while that's creating, we're going to move on and get into the presentations, and I'll show you that it's functional a little bit later on in the session. Okay. Sorry, but while we're recording the demos, I can't take questions, so I'll take the questions now. Right at the front. The ISO file?
Yeah.
There's no way to upload an ISO file through the web app at the moment. Okay, so WAP won't let you just go upload ISO. Okay, what you would do is you would publish a FTP site or a link to the VM library. Okay, and then the customer, once they've uploaded to that library, it would appear in the list.
So
what you would what some service providers do is publish an FTP site. Okay, you create a subfolder in that FTP site for each of your tenants, and you would link that back to a VM library. Okay, and it would be a dedicated library just for that customer. And we'll go through how that works when we go through VMM a little bit later. Yep. Yep, so the question was, can I change the VM? So when I was going through the WAP portal demo and I had the drop-down of the hardware profiles, the question is, can the customer change it on the fly, just change CPU or just change RAM individually? Unfortunately, no, not in the Windows Azure pack yet. Okay, that is something that you would have to customize. At the moment, what you're restricted to is the hardware profiles that you have in Virtual Machine Manager. Okay, so all the hardware profile options that pop up in that list, you create in Virtual Machine Manager and you decide which ones get published to the plans, and when they pick that plan, they'll only have the options that have come up in that plan. It would be nice if there was a slider, but we're just not there yet.
On the website page, you had a bunch of nice resource monitoring stuff enabled. Is there anything similar for the databases?
So the question was, is there any resource monitoring capabilities like we had for websites and VMs with CPU, RAM utilization, storage, and everything else? For SQL databases, unfortunately, no. All we've got at the moment is the ability to create the database, delete the database, and change the size of the database. Okay, it is an area that we're hoping that's going to be progressed a lot further in the next release, but this is what we've got in this release. Keep in mind, guys, this is really the second release of the Windows Azure pack. Okay, we're only in V1.5, is the way I prefer to call it, not V2. Was there any other questions before we move on? No? Okay.